Welcome to our podcast, It's About Payroll. We're your hosts, Brian Escobar and Walter William Duncan III. Whether you're new to the payroll game or a seasoned veteran, we have something for you. Welcome back, folks. We are episode 107, cruising right along. Today, we're just going to have a light episode. We're going to talk about what we liked out of season 8, talk about what's coming up for season 9. But before we get into any of that, how you doing today, sir? How you doing, Walt?
Man, I am good. Happy Sunday to you, April 14th. Man, I know I say this all the time on all the shows, on a majority of the shows, but man, time is flying, sir.
Yeah, no doubt. Man.
We're gonna look up. It's going to be time to do W-2s again next year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it goes. Yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I don't even know where. Yeah. Absolutely right. It'll be. Yeah. I had to hit my CPA up because I was like, hey, did you extend my personal stuff, too? Because she told me she extended our stuff business wise. Yeah. And I was like, wait, I got to make sure she did it for personal because I'm not ready. Yeah, I wasn't ready. Yeah, thank God she did. Shout out to JC. But yeah, man, it's just going so quickly. I'm kind of been panicking about time and just making not panic in a good at the end of the day. I'm like, okay, it is okay. I'm good, but I'm like just very concerned about time. Just, oh my gosh, we'll work now. Is talking about it with the team. This, the fact that there's, oh, we could work forever is the fact that you have to balance out, because if not, you're going to burn out. Oh, balance absolutely. Out to avoid burnout. Just being mindful of all that stuff and everything else. We got to still kind of keep time for the fam. The family's feeling it. My little one doesn't let me forget. Thank you. Shout out to my boss, man. Let me bring in. He's going to let me do a little take your child to work day is coming up.
Yes,
and,
nice.
And my little one's always been too young to do it. Just so I haven't done it. I haven't taken her in prior years. And I've been home for 4 years. So it's like, take you to work. You stay home from school. Finally. But even still, she's, no, you have an office. I want to go to your office. And then she knows I have a, even as a remote, she knew I had an office. We had an office to go to in Miami. And so I had already planned it. But with the job change, I was like, oh, man, what am I going to do now? So, again, shout out to my boss. He let me do it. Bring her in and whatnot. And then it was a good opportunity to frame it for folks. If you are trying to do a take your child to work thing, there is a formal way to do it. Like your HR department or some, usually HR, that helps organize an event for it, right? What you do is you take 2 or 3 hours out of the day. You say, okay, you can have your kids. They can come for this event. So bring your kids to work day. Organized event for them. It's only a certain age group, right? You shouldn't bring infants in. That's not bring your kids to work day. Like infants aren't going to experience anything. It should. And I think it was like, I don't know, this event that I'm thinking of and then the rules. And I like the rules. 8 or 6. I guess you could go probably as low as 5 or 6 and up.
Yeah.
I would maybe say 6 and up or 7 and up. And not even like 7 to 8, 17. Because at 18, is it you bring in your adult to work at that point? It's a different story. You give them a job. But anyway, my point is that I it should be a organized and thoughtful and planned event. It shouldn't be just everybody bringing their kids to work on this day and having no organization around it, because kids can't last the whole day. You know what I mean? Your kid can't be there from 9 to 5. It's just not realistic. Again,
I've been in situations, because you're right, I've been in situations where the kids, it was bring your kid to work day, but they had to plan something to keep the kids busy all day.
Exactly.
So to your point, like you're saying, Brian, if you're going to do that and they're going to be there from 9 to 5 or whatever your hours are, it needs to be planned out all day if you're going to do that. But I lean to what you're saying more so.
That's just do practice, a few hours. A long day, all day is not realistic. The kids, they don't have that type of stamina. Yeah, for real. And I guess in some situations,
that's true though, because I remember some of those kids like, I want to go home. In the office.
That's it. They're done.
What are we leaving?
Yes, exactly. We see exactly. And unless you have a couch, unless you have a couch for all of them to take a nap, they're not going to make it.
Playroom.
They'll play some type of, or so I guess in some scenarios and locations, you can have them there the whole day if you already cater to children. But at most office jobs, that's not the case. You can't think about it. You can't bring your kids to McDonald's. You can't, if you work at McDonald's, if you're a shift manager, if you're a store manager, that's going to be very, it's probably not even a safe place for them to be.
Some McDonald's has the little ball playrooms, keep them in there.
Even that, somebody has to watch them. So now you got to take a staff away to watch these kids all day. You know what I mean? It has. So that's my point. It has to be thoughtful. You have to think it out. You can't just be like, yeah, bring your kids. No, but you should also not say no. No, we can't do that. You should try to think about it. Can we do this? You know what I mean? Yeah. Can we do this? And if, okay, yeah, we can. All right, how should we do it? And really just, again, make it an organized event. Be thoughtful about it.
Because, bad idea.
Yeah, because like, folks, kids just don't have the stamina for that. You know what I mean? And if they do, then you need to give them a job. They're ready for work.
Yeah, man. Like, you just reminded me of something. Like, not on that same subject, but you used the word thoughtful a couple of times.
Yes.
In your articulation there, and something that we always say about grace, and I was thinking about that here recently, right? And give yourself and others grace is something that we always say.
Yeah.
But why you should do that? Because you're gonna have your off days. You're gonna have those days when it seems like everything is a struggle, personally, professionally, with everything, right? You're gonna have those days. Those are the moments where that thoughtfulness, that mindfulness needs to come in and say, okay, hey, this person had an off day. If a coworker kind of snapped at you or whatever, maybe they had an off day, give them some grace. Now, if they're disrespectful, you may have to chin check them. I don't know. But, you know, but you have to be mindful because the whole world is under pressure. Yeah, think about it. So a stat that I was just thinking about the other day, 80%, 78%. Of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. That means your coworkers that you work with every day, even though they may not be letting you in on the day-to-day details of their life, they're probably struggling too. They're probably going through the same thing that a lot of us are feeling right now with pressures with finances, your family, health, who knows what personal things we're going through.
Yeah.
And that when we feel those pressures at work and at home, let's just give a little bit more grace and more thoughtfulness and how we operate and how we move, man. That's just how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, dope. Good stuff, man. Go ahead and keep it going, man. Get us into pay news. What do we got to share for pay news today?
Got some fun stuff coming from CNN.com.
I like this one.
About those California fast food increases. They recently passed legislation in California, as many of us know, that increased fast food sector workers' minimum wage by $4. So that went up from $16 to $20 an hour, which prompted a lot of concerns about potential job losses to technology like self-service kiosk. And a lot of businesses have been turning to automation to offset a lot of those labor costs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was going to be a trend to automation anyway. We mentioned it in another show. About that burger place that had the AI or robots doing the dangerous labor, like frying
and the cooking,
and stuff like that. Yep. Yeah, a lot of restaurants are starting to they were incentivized to do it faster based on this law. So wages, new law became effective April 1st and applies to all restaurant chains with more than 60 nationwide locations, and establishes a food council to oversee wage adjustments and worker safety standards. So worker self-service kiosks have become more increasingly common in large fast food chains like Panera Bread, McDonald's, Shake Shack, Burger King, Chick-fil-A, with benefits including larger and more profitable orders and improve customer service. Think about that. They're saying that the self-service kiosks help people feel because they don't have to worry about somebody being rude to them or getting a rude response from this self-service thing. I don't know how they work.
Excuse me, bro. Man, I'm sorry, man.
You okay?
Nah, I'm feeling a little sick. Ah, which reminds me. Crap, man. I need to put in my sick time.
Oh, what system do you use?
Oh, Time Track Go, the simply better employee time clock software that is going to make your life easier. I don't know if you know, man, but it already has a unique graphical employee time card. And it's awesome because it helps you quickly identify and fix the mistakes.
That's right. Now that you say that, they just announced the addition of an automatic PTO accrual earnings. So you can say goodbye to those manual calculations. TimeTrack Go's new automatic PTO accrual feature takes the hassle out of tracking those earned and accrued times, assuring accuracy and consistency for both employees and HR teams.
Oh, that's golden. That's awesome. You know what? That's right. I remember that. I read that you can choose from various rules like yearly, monthly, pay period, hourly, and hourly percentage to seamlessly align with your company's policies. It includes new state sick leave. Awesome, because I'm not feeling good. That's going to help. And you can do vacation hours that automatically increase with length of service.
Man, like, how could someone find out what a Simply Better solution could do for their business?
Oh, to learn more, they're always doing a 14-day free trial. Someone should go to their website at www.timetrackgo.com. That's TimeTrackGo.com. Or if they want to call, the number is 888-321-9922. Let's go.
Let's go.
So back up. Say that again.
So this thing said that the self-service kiosk have the benefits of those have included larger and more profitable orders and improved the customer experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow. I'm sorry. I'm actually reading through the article. That's why I wasn't paying attention, folks. I'm here. I'm just in a different spot. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting. I'm gonna make a note. I do have an add to for that larger order piece, but go ahead.
Yeah, so while customers' preference for autonomous ordering exists, the minimum wage increase is expected to accelerate, as we said, the incentive for those tech adoptions in the industry. And they started to just do it faster because of what happened. And despite efforts to avoid layoffs, the implementation of AI and technology is seen as necessary to maintain profits amidst the rising labor costs and customer resistance to price increases. So the California Restaurant Association does acknowledge the minimum wage hike, but while some owners have already closed businesses. I know that there was a popular mom and pop burger place that was in the news recently in California, and they had to close their business because they couldn't afford to pay their people and get profit in. I know that In-N-Out, the owner of In-N-Out, which is privately owned, committed to not raising their prices by that much to impact their customers. So even though they're paying their employees more, they say, hey, we're not going to go crazy on the prices. Like McDonald's, after this price range, they started to raise levels. I think there was a $25 meal on their menu. Think about that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. This is a really hot topic, but I think a few things. It's about payroll, right? I think immediately how it translates to, I think it's going to impact payroll the same way it's impacting fast food. I think this is the marker for how it will impact all industries that AI becomes a part of, where it's you're going to have to lose labor, but the labor that stays needs to learn up so that they can get that raise and be worthy of the raise increases, because now you will have to become the liaison between this machine and the people, right? Just like that burger place that you talked about, there was still a person there finishing the orders and serving it to the customers, right? I think payroll is going to be the same way, even if we spoke about it, how far we're away from, me and Walt talk about this stuff off air also. We get into conversations mm-hmm. about it now, because I'm thinking it was on the show, but it wasn't. We were just talking about how we think that there's probably a payroll engine already right now in its machine learning phase, and somebody's working feverishly to try to get it to market. But even if they get it to market in the next 12 months to 2 years, it will still take some adoption time, right?
Yes.
People are not going to jump to it. Companies are not going to jump to it. There's going to be, it's going to be a first mover thing, the innovators type thing. It's going to take that product timeline that we talk about in Crossing the Chasm, is it? Yeah, Crossing the Chasm. It talks about how a product goes through this phases of first movers where innovators want to be a part of it. Then, and I forget the names of the groups, but I remember first movers as the first phase, because if you're introducing a new product, like those are the people you have to get on board, or these first movers. So it's going to take time to go through those stages, but I think it's going to hit the same way. Whereas, okay, team, like if you got a big payroll team, you're going to lose some people because it's going to do some of those tasks that your juniors that are doing. And so what's up?
There was another restaurant. There was another article out there that was on Fortune.com, and it talked about one of the popular restaurants that are in California now, Pollo. And they, maybe they're in Florida, but I know that they said to reduce labor cost, they were going to reduce the number of staff step taken in a day to produce productivity. So I think that they're going to cross train. So they said the number of steps that it takes them to get to the customer. So I don't know what that means. I would love to do more research into that.
Right.
But this, I know that I read somewhere that those California restaurants or fast food chains are thinking about doing the same thing. They're reducing the number of steps that it takes for their workers to connect with the employees. So I don't know what that, the customers, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. No, look, it's going to impact. I think that food, it's impacting the, what is it? The, how did the pandemic put it? Like our frontline, or what is it? The essentials. Remember, it was like essential things.
Essential workers.
Essential workers. So fast food is essential workers. Like we all eat when we all eat out more than we want to. So that's why it's hitting this industry first. And then one of the things that you mentioned, larger orders. And I read that on another, article that was saying something about the fact that they digitized something. Oh, yeah. I believe it was Chipotle. Chipotle got bigger orders from their digital experience than they do in person, because people are not ashamed of adding the cheese, adding the guac, adding this, adding that. Yeah,
nobody's there to look at them. There's no eyes on them.
Exactly. You're not on a line of people like, oh yeah, give me the guac. Give me extra guac. Because the guac, that's the whole joke of it. Like the guac is extra. And so it applies the same way, whereas if you're doing food orders, you don't mind adding on these other things because nobody's looking at you and the orders get bigger, right? And it's the same concept. I remember going to McDonald's this past year with my son, like when the first time the kiosk actually hit me, I was like, oh, what's this about? What are we doing? There's no, there was no at the front thing. Oh, we just, and my son is the one, I was like, no, dad, just use the kiosk. And I was like, what? He's like, no, come on. And he's in it, like, bing, bing,
bing, bing, bing, bing.
What do you want? Yeah, what do you want? Bing. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And and that was a year ago. That was in the last, this is before I think even AI really took on this, the momentum that it's having now and the impact that it's having now. So yeah, look, more to come with this stuff. It's definitely going to, but that's my prediction. I think it's going to play itself out the same way in every industry that it hits. The AI comes, you have to lose some labor, but the labor that you do keep needs to retool, relearn. And so everybody in every industry, get ahead of it. Start learning AI. I'm starting to try to look at now, okay, what AI courses can I start taking, little seminars or whatever, webinars that I can start consuming?
Man, it's true. Because I was reading different articles about this because I was doing research and stuff. And the things that some of these restaurants or fast food chains are doing, they're in order to cut labor costs amidst this minimum wage increase, they're also cross training, like to your point, so that, hey, you know how to do multiple jobs.
Yep.
Okay. You're not just on the fries today, as they say.
That's right. You know? Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. And it makes me think of the side hustle mentality too. Like, don't keep all your eggs in one basket, folks. If you're afraid of losing your job, like, hey, you may want to, you know, cultivate some other skills and, again, cross train and keep a side hustle, develop a side hustle or something like that. There are going to be some things that AI just can't take away yet. And maybe that's where you focus on if you're worried about it. Some people don't like technology and having to have to interact with it. And there's still going to be opportunity for a lot of things. Yeah, man.
Trade.
Learn
a trade.
Yeah. It's a really good conversation stuff. But all right. So mine is fairly quick. And I guess what struck me is that this thing actually made the news, because this has happened to us in real life where, again, as payroll and HR professionals, we're a high ticket target, I call it, right? Yeah. At an organization, it already happened with my new boss. Like I showed him a text and I was like, this is not you, right? And because I got a text from what it looked like it was coming from him. And it was like, hey, Brian, and his name is in it. And I was like, he's sitting in the office right next to me. So I'm like, I don't think this was him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, how did you get that? And I was like, dude, hackers, because they look at LinkedIn, they looked at these connections and they put in the pieces and puzzle together. And they're like, oh,
yes, bro.
And again, because they're putting those pieces, they're using LinkedIn and things to put pieces. Their high ticket target is HR and payroll. It's not going to be necessarily marketing. You know what I mean? Because marketing doesn't have the keys to the castle. So
that's such a perfect example that you gave here, bro. That's such a perfect example, because I know that some people may put their email address on LinkedIn just in public, publicly.
Mine displayed. Is out. I think mine is. I don't know.
And then, like, people get access that way. These hackers or these scammers, to your point, they'll create fake LinkedIn profiles. And I've gotten connection requests from the original person. And then later on, I get another request. I'm like, okay, they have two pages?
Yes.
The same thing goes on media, TikTok, Facebook, all the different things.
It's social hacking. And I was trying to look out. I was looking for Splunk's link again, because Splunk, SPLUNK, they don't sponsor us, but I do give them a lot of props for putting out this information. They have a report out there where it's like top 50 cyber, like, beware of these top 50 things that cyber hack. And we talked about it on the show plenty, but I really appreciate it, because, again, think about it. There's so many that they had to do a top 50. That means there's more. And they, it's scary, but one of the methods that cyber hackers use is this piece, this social engineering of it, where, like you said, they make you think they know you and you know them, and it's a casual relationship, but all the time they're data mining. How many kids do you have? Oh my goodness. And where do you work? And oh my goodness. And they're getting this information nonchalantly, but it's all to build up to an attack.
Yes. That's how you have to be careful with calls now, because now they have programming where somebody could just speak to you on the phone. Hey, what's your name?
Yep.
Can I speak to one? And they just get your voice, and and the AI can mimic your voice and copy your voice. And hey, my name is Walter Duncan.
Say anything. Yep. Yeah, exactly right. And even us, our voice is now on the waves, and we got to be careful. We got to warn our families to say, hey, look, if you get a call from me that sounds off, it's probably off. So
from a different number.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially
from exactly. And it's true. We got to build safe words and phrases within and protocol within our families, because our voice is out there, right? They can take our voice and call us and say anything. So we got to have some type of process. Like, we got to do a show. Like, you know, I want to do a whole best practice around cybersecurity show going, so that we can teach people, like, what some methods are. That's one: safe words, safe phrases. You know, if somebody's calling you about anything money and information related, hang up and call that person back.
Or we can just be like Jason Statham in The Beekeeper.
Oh man, did you see it finally?
Take everybody out. Yeah, man, I saw it.
Oh my god, how great was that movie, right?
Yeah.
And they framed it so good, because Felicia Rashad, iconic, and like, how
so
dare
mad.
You? You know what I mean? It was
so
like, mad. Mom, right?
I was so mad. Angry. I was just like, but I could see the reality of it, right?
Yes.
This person loses, could potentially lose everything.
Yep.
And then make a decision to do what was done. Right. Yep. Which, man,
yes, because you could see
what,
that.
What happening. do you have?
Yeah, it was an extreme, I think. But it was a good example of an extreme. And then just the retribution of it all. Oh, you done messed up now. You got the wrong. You done did the wrong to the wrong person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that perfect example of F around and find out.
Yes.
So, and we're talking about a movie, Beekeeper, folks, and they talk about cybersecurity, and Felicia Rashad was the victim in the beginning, and then the movie's kind of based on that. It's really great. It's really great example of cybersecurity and what they do. This stuff is real. The techniques that they use are not exaggerated. Those are real techniques that people use. We know people in real life that have been hacked and scammed in these manner. Anywho, my article is about a Pennsylvania state police were called to Wattsburg area of business for an unknown person tried to steal an employee's paycheck. Troopers from PSP Erie were called to an unnamed business along Wattsburg Road on March 29th after an unknown actor emailed the business claiming to be an employee. And police said that the suspect was trying to change the account, the employee's direct deposit paycheck, valued at nearly $1,500, to one of their own and not the employee's. This is very common, folks. Okay, so you're a payroll professional. You have to encourage employee self-service. You have to build in some validation steps. If you're doing it for employees, you need to build in some validation steps, because this is email. You can't do, you know, like, this is common. This is so what surprised me that it made the paper. I was like, how did this make news? Because this is happening. Investigators later confirmed that the employee did not request the change, but did not say whether the money had been returned. Oh my God. So they did this. It looks like it went through. Wow. So returned. See, that's a L, right? If the company did the right thing, they're going to take the loss on that money. They have to pay their employee. The fact that you changed it was on you. That's not the employee's fault. You felt scammed to the scam. So you have to pay their employee and make them whole. And then you have to also now follow up on this and see how this gets covered. I don't know if it's insurance, if it's bank insurance, if that insurance, the company now has to go follow up and get that money back.
Find the loophole. Find how this was done. Find that blind spot that this, you know.
Yes.
Is there anything we as a company could have done?
Yes.
Or if you're using a third party
administrator,
HCM or something like that to process your payroll or whatever, is it you or is it their system? You need to be able to identify those things and figure it out, because we've seen with some of these systems where a hack has happened.
Yeah.
There was a thing out there with Cash App where people were getting into people's accounts and updating their direct deposit in the payroll system. The employee's like, I live in California, and it says the IP address of the change was in New York or Texas. They're completely different.
Yep.
And it's just, hey, like, that wasn't me. I didn't change it.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, man, we have to be on guard. You have to put in protocol. You have to have some steps, and you have to create friction. Unfortunately, I always think of Joe, our old CFO. He would use that phrase a lot, like friction and creating friction where it needs not, you don't need it, and putting it where you do need it, because you do need it some places. You do need some friction, and this is a case where you do need friction, even though the technology can do it in a lightning speed. You need to create some friction, especially if you're doing it for your employees, if it's not employee self-service. If you have an employee, if you're an employee and you have an employee self-service type of thing, you have to create notifications. My mom got scammed on a credit card deal, and she realized that her notification threshold was high. Like the dollar amount was clearly too high. And it was only at $50. But now I said, no, Ma, change the setting to any amount. You don't want to know, because that's how they got her. It was a bunch of transactions under $50.
Yes. So you and I went through the same thing.
Yes.
I had 99 cents. I'm just like, from weird names in California, Arizona. Yep. I'm just like,
I got an update now. I have a breach on something now that I got to look into. But yeah, you got to stay on top of it, and not just because it was like 10 cents, you don't, whatever. Nope. That's how they're fishing. So change your notifications, put notifications on all these documents, try to work only through your credit card. If you have a credit card and you can manage it, I know folks have 80% paycheck to paycheck, but that's the goal, is to move all your expenses through your credit card so that you have some protection. It's not hitting your cash, right? It's not, you when you lose, you're not losing cash, you're losing credit. That's usually, if it's fraudulent, the fix is happening immediately, and they can tell very quickly that it is fraudulent. Like in my mom's case, she's in New York. These transactions were happening in California. Mm-hmm. Clearly, it was an obvious fraud type of thing. Yeah, no, just be mindful, folks. This stuff is just getting ramped up, as we've reported many times. And yeah, be careful out there. Be careful, be mindful, put in the best practices, create the friction where you need it. Create the user notifications. Be like, the number one combat to this is education. So go read those reports. Go take the cybersecurity classes. Take your company's training. Do all that stuff.
Educate your employees.
Yes. There you go. Thank you, sir.
You know, educate your employees. Yeah.
Moving into our next segment, which is the main conversation here about our season 8 in review. And what kind of was important for us. And Walt, I'll let you start it off. And then we're also going to do a season 9 preview at the end as well.
Yeah. So we had a couple of guests. I didn't want to take them all here. So I'm just going to mention like two of them. We had Nov on, who was really great. And had a wealth of wisdom in regards to HR and people and payroll stuff, and really great individual. I think he's out in San Francisco or somewhere near that.
Yeah, somewhere near it or something. Yeah.
And no, if you're listening, we're still going to hold you to that trip that you offered us to wine country.
So, yeah.
He stood out to me. Sarah from Banfield Pet Hospital really stood out to me. She inspired me. And something that she said that stood out was that her getting the CPP. Was definitely an accomplishment for her, but she felt like it let her go to the next level. And so for me, I'm just like, man, I feel like I need that. I want that. I want to take that with me. And I did take that with me, what she said, because it inspired me as well. And that was really big for me. Another thing that stood out is the hospital cyber attack. We just talked about all the different things with these hackers and scammers and stuff like that. So that hospital cyber attack was really big for me, because we're continuing to see a trend with these attacks, as we just spoke to just a couple of seconds ago. And then a big accomplishment for us, we hit 100 episodes in season 8, man. We hit our 100th episode. Man, like, time has flown by, and it's been great, man. And I'm just proud of us. I'm really proud of us. And that's what stood out for me. So I'll let you take the rest of the stuff for season 8 there. Go ahead.
Yeah, no doubt. For me, again, we've been really lucky. You know, I can't understate or overstate everybody. We have amazing guests on. Every guest we've ever had, they just, you know, bring such a different energy and different information we're learning. But for me, it was really like a moment in our journey to have Jody Parsons on, because I've been following Jody probably her whole time at Kansas City Royals. She was when I got on LinkedIn and 20 years ago, and was like, oh, wow. When I saw her payroll manager, Kansas City Royals, I was like, oh my God, I got a celebrity on my LinkedIn. Was celebrity status, because I loved sport. I still love sports. So like that connection, and Kansas City, the Yankees played them all in the American League. Like that was just like, oh my gosh, I'm following. So for me, I've always been following her, and I felt like I've been following a celebrity this whole time. And then to have the honor to for her to come on, and then the clip that I still I still watch and listen to that clip, because she's like, don't tell me why you fell into payroll. Tell me why you still love payroll. Why do you love it? Why do you like, it was just such a great, her expression, the passion that some of us have for what we do. And look, that's one of our claims to fame is the passion for what we have, and talk about this in payroll. People say that. They're like, y'all's passion for this comes out. Keep doing what you're doing. And I thank you for all that, folks. Thank you for that support. It means everything to us. So having Jody on, that was a great moment for me. Max, Vanderkill Boosink. My boy Max. Yo, Max is an amazing character as well. Everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. His energy is just infectious.
Yes.
And he really helped me articulate the quest that we're on to kind of, you don't have to force young people into payroll. We just have to frame it for them and let them know and put it out there as an awareness. It is a possibility. You can make a career out of this, right?
Yeah. One thing that stood out for Max is when he said, and I'm not sure if I'm saying it verbatim, but when he said that basically knowledge is meant to be shared.
Yes, that was a good one. Yep.
Right? Like that is, and I felt that from him. I felt that energy, that vibe from him. It's just like, man, like he wants to help others. He wants to empower others and uplift others in the industry and educate people in the industry. So that's what really stood out for me with him. One of the things that stood out.
Again, it's such a great episode. Brad Voorhees was a dope conversation, right? Just HR, digging into some HR and how he's building up his brand. Jeremy Mifsud, Jonathan's brother, right? Was it Jonathan? Jonathan. They're from Buddy, the payroll software out in Malta. So Jeremy was a really good conversation. I go into every interview not knowing what I'm going to get from them. I don't do any pre-work on them. I like to be surprised. I like to be in the moment with them. It's something that I think that I picked up from indirectly from Wendy Williams, like listening to Wendy's show in New York. She would bring on guests and be like, whoa, no, we keep it fresh. She wouldn't talk to guests. At least she said this. I don't know how true it was, but she didn't talk to the guests beforehand, and she didn't talk to them when they broke for commercial. They didn't speak, right? Uh-huh. It was like it was keeping the reaction and the energy fresh and live in the moment, right?
Trying to keep authentic.
Authentic, thank you. That's a good one, yeah. So I try to do the same thing. I like to approach it the same way. That's why I like, and I've told you, we've only had one pre-conversation, maybe two that I can think of in the hundreds of, or 50s, tens of 50s of guests that we've had on the show.
Yes.
We've only done one or two, and I don't like doing it. And it made me find a way to not do it ever again. And I tell people in emails, hey, I hear the conversation, hear the topics, but there's no pre-interview, right? We do the interview fresh.
That's interesting, because you're right, because we were sent, when we started adding more guests, we started sending out those forms. Hey, fill this out. Mm-hmm. Tell us about yourself. This and that. Mm-hmm. And then we were just like, you know what? We'll save that for the actual conversation. Let it be real and raw in that moment and say, hey, we're going to ask you about your journey during
We'll give you the topics. We'll give you the questions that we're going to ask. You can prep. I don't want to take that away from, but I don't want to know your answers in advance. I don't want to have a conversation. I remember the one time we did it. I was like, we just did the show. I was so frustrated with it. I was like, we just did the show. Like, how is this going to translate over? Thank goodness it still was a good conversation, but I was angry. I was annoyed with it. Yeah.
Yeah. We would get on. This is when we were doing everything. Remember? We had different shows, and then we would get on sometime during the week. Hey, let's meet and connect and talk to them for 30 minutes to an hour. And be like, hey, and you were just like you said, we just did the show right there. Well,
can't do that. That's what made me realize, like, we can't do this. We definitely can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And all that to say that I go into it not knowing what I'm going to get. And I love that, because then the experience is real. And I haven't been disappointed with any of our guests. Thank God. I just not had a bad guest. And again, Jeremy didn't disappoint. We had a great conversation with him, learned so many things customer service wise. It's really, if you're running a help desk or if you're trying to think about your customer service piece of this in payroll, that's a really great episode to listen to with Jeremy Mifsud. And then
you can see a passion in it.
And that they're thoughtful about how they do things and how they change their processes to accommodate and scale, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then one of the fun ones for me from this season was Crazy Eddie doing that true payroll crime for Crazy Eddie, because I grew up on Crazy Eddie. Mom, and I told my mom that we did the episode. She's, do you remember going every week? So you used to make me go there every week and buy you a game, and then every time I got paid. And I was like, yes, Ma, I talked about that on the show. Yeah, I was like, yes.
Yes, bro.
You know, I still have a memory of going there and getting it.
That's like, to me, man.
Yeah, that's so crazy. So, That was a fun episode to cover.
For you?
Yes, very nostalgic. Brought back good memories of childhood. But that's my recap of season 8.
See, you don't even have to go to the store. You can just download the game.
Download it. Online. Yep, you can. Yeah, you can. Yep. It's such a different. That's what I was telling my mom too. She was like, "Oh, the games, and you buy the games, and what do kids buy games still now?" And I'm like, "No, Mom, you don't have to buy them anymore. You can download them. Everything's digital." And she's just, "Wow." But yeah, man, that's my recap. I loved really great guest. Thank you all for coming on. I don't believe I've missed anybody. I think we covered everybody there.
So,
yeah, for Joe, Jody and Max Vanderkleesbusink, Brad Voorhees, Jeremy Mifsud. Yep, we did tax brackets, New Year's goals. Yeah, that was it. No, and Jonathan. Yeah, we had Jonathan at the end of season 7 and then Jeremy in the beginning of season 8. They're brothers that work at Buddy doing their thing on over there on across the pond on the Europe side of things. So, so what about season 9? What are we thinking for? Do we even know?
Man, we have wonderful episodes with Aaron Martin and Chris Rivero from Active talking about earned wage access. We're working with Gerard Hall, that payroll guy. Excited for that. We have a great opportunity for that. And in the episode, we're going to announce something big in there.
Big, yeah.
Right? And then who else do we have? For
Bart Vanderstorm, and he just dropped a payroll book called The Payroll Mind. Yeah, how to build influence and make impact as a global payroll professional. Already, I'm reading a few other things, so I haven't gotten to this one yet. But I scanned through and just really dope concepts that I see, learning pieces. Oh man, yes, he's teaching, right? I love that part of it. Unfortunately, in payroll, there's not a lot of good content out, as we say many times, and we need more authors, right? There, Anita Latink dropped her second book, so check that out. But right now, to my knowledge, there's only 2 payroll authors, Anita Latink and Bart Vanderstorm. Yeah. We need more. I'm getting motivated and thinking like, oh, wow, maybe I can write a book. And Walt keeps saying and planting that seed for me, so I'm thinking along those lines as well. One day, you'll see something from us and the IAP family. But until,
I'm thinking about it too, man. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much room. Like, you go to any other category and there's thousands of books. You go to payroll, there's now 2, 3. Sorry, there's 3.
You know what I mean? Yes. Yes. The good thing about writing a book is you can tell your payroll story, view, and the people. You can share some of your experiences as Brian Escobar and what Brian Escobar had to go through.
Yep.
And Brian Escobar's viewpoint on things. I can tell mine from my point of view, my experiences in the workforce, you know what I'm saying? In the military, doing payroll, like doing all those different things, right? We could tell our stories. We just got to do it.
I'm looking at it now. And I just looked up payroll on Amazon for books. Mm-hmm, and it's still the same stuff. Just it's textbooks. Now, there's a few journals people put out because they realize that the whole make money on, like that whole TikTok hack, hey, you could create a journal and resell the journal and make money on selling a journal. Yes, so there's a few payroll journals out there. Cool. But that's a blank book that there's no words in it at all. It's just blank pages. There's a coloring book, which is cute. That's new.
I mean, there's different books out there. There's payroll accounting books. Gregory Mustin
has some accounting books out there. Again, it's a textbook.
Yeah.
The textbooks. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We need we have to get beyond textbooks.
Yeah.
And to that point, Bart's came up on the first page. Anita, we got to do some work with getting you to the first page here. Search anyway. Maybe it's different for others.
Yeah. In my your point.
But anyway, I'm sorry. I'm going down a rabbit hole here.
There's opportunity for you.
There's opportunity for us. Yeah, for all of us. And I like what Bart said. He didn't find his voice until he realized I had to be authentic with my story. right? He said his first version didn't even, that's not the book that was published, but his first version of the book. So he was like, he found his voice for this story, and that's when it really made sense. So tell your story. And your, Walt just said, we do want to read about these things. Like, I think payroll do people, just like any other industry and subject in the world, we're curious about the subject. That's how we learn more about it, because there is no true north. There is no playbook. There is no degree. There is no one certification that answers it all, that justifies it all, right? We're still building all this. And we're a part of that, right? Me and you are part of this. We're laying out the thought leadership for this and exposing all the other thought leaders in payroll as well. I think that, yeah, like you said, season 9 is going to be more of the same, right? We're going to continue this journey on that. And we've, again, Bart's episode is coming up soon. Yes. Gerard's episode is coming up soon. Aaron Martin and Chris Rivero coming up soon. We've already got those on deck and in the pipeline, ready to go. And it's just a matter of the putting them out there, right? We got some amazing content for everybody to put out. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about how we become part of the next wave of how payroll conversation is going to evolve, and AI and machine learning and all these things. Like, I'm so excited about all of that. So yeah, that's it. We've been talking for a while, so let's wrap this up. Our safe talk question segment question is, should fast food workers make $20 an hour, or can you make, and or it's two part, should fast food workers make $20 an hour, and can you make fast food a career? I think so. Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I think fast food, this is one of the conversations me and Walt had off record. Because again, folks, we talk about this stuff for real. Yes. In our normal day-to-day conversations, we'll get caught up in topics and be like, oh, but that and this and that.
We have debate, good conversations.
We don't come out here and just fake this for y'all. This is real. And I think everybody knows that, right? That's why they listen to the show. They know we're really about this life. I do think not just fast food workers, I think that payment wages have to be level set for living wages. People got to live. People got to, like, right now, two people can't graduate from high school. I always think of it like two lovebirds. We watch all these movies from back in the day and, oh, they graduated from high school and they went on and built life together. How? If two people graduated high school and went out and got jobs and started working, they probably couldn't even make enough full time to go out and get a place to live. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, where are you going? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that to me is sad. So I think everybody should make a living wage. And I think, yeah, absolutely. Any industry, any job can be a career if you're career-minded. If you're just job-minded, it's going to be a job. And there's a difference, right? A career is something you're building on top. You're building towards something different. A job is a job is a job. You're just going to go, but it's how you treat it. Doesn't matter what type of job that is. How you do anything is how you do everything. And if you treat it, it is absolutely a building block for a career. You know what I mean? So I think, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with your sentiment. First, when we were talking, I was just like, well, maybe not. It's not a career, because what is your career trajectory for fast food? Is everybody, do you have the opportunity to work yourself up and be at a manager level at your same location? You do.
Yeah.
How many of those positions are available to everyone? If everyone is working and on the same trajectory, not everybody can get the same position.
Not in the same location, but if you're good, you're going to shine and people are going to make room for you if it's decent talent. If not, you take yourself to now you're ready to apply for manager somewhere else. I ran into that problem in payroll where I was like, all right, I'm a payroll coordinator. I was a payroll coordinator for 7 years. And then I was like, okay, I think it's time for me to grow now. It's time to become a payroll manager.
Yeah.
But how do you become a payroll manager if you've never been a payroll manager? And my point is, it wasn't my company's fault. They were a small company that didn't have a career path for payroll folk. The company was not a growth company, right? Like, they weren't going to keep growing so that there was a maybe future advance. It was just a small shop that made a lot of money, So they didn't need they didn't need to grow with bodies and headcount and locations. They did what they did. Like that, it was a different business model. So I couldn't be mad at them for running efficiently and lean. Mm-hmm. I had to make my own. I had to make a choice. All right, for me to be a payroll manager, I have to switch jobs. And it was unfortunate, and but it is what it is. That's what happened. You have to make it for you. You have to make that decision for yourself, because the company's not always going to make it for you. If you're really good, they are going to want you to stay where you are. Oh my God, stay here. And I remember when I gave notice, my boss was like, "Ah, I knew it. Crap, man." And he was upset because he was like, "I knew I was going to lose you at some point. We're at a point where we can't give you any more." You know what I mean? And I was And he knew. He was like, he's just, "I know, man, dang, but good luck. I'm happy for you, proud of you, boom, boom." So yeah, it can be a career, and yeah, it can be, but I like the point you're bringing up. Like, you have to notice that you're good. You have to notice that, okay, I've been here, I've been in McDonald's, I've been on fries, I work my way from fries to the front desk in the front.
Yes.
Obviously I'm good. If you've gotten off the fries, then you know you're okay. You're like, you're growing, right? You got to be able to measure that for yourself. Okay, I am growing. Actually, people come to me when they have questions, right? If you become that person that everybody's asking questions, yeah, you're a leader now.
Yes. You know? And the most important thing is, do you find it fulfilling?
Yeah.
Which ties the first part of this question back to this. So if it's fulfilling, then the amount of money you make shouldn't matter, but it should be a livable wage, to your point. A livable wage. And yes, it should be based on where you live. Yes, because the price of renting in LA is more expensive than it is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yep. Right?
By maybe $1,000 or a few hundred bucks or whatever it is. And so I think that, yes, there has to be some calculation, some method used to figure out what that livable wage is. But you need it. And yes, it's on us as leaders and companies to figure out how to do that more sufficiently. Mm-hmm. Is the industry going to have some change? Is there going to be some ripple effect?
Yeah.
Yes, there always is with change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But let's figure it out.
We're at a crossroads right now. We're at a industrial revolution, if you will. You know, some people have compared where we are to like the car being invented. You know, this is AI, and it's that's where we are with it. And it's true. Yeah, folks, this got me thinking. And before I'll leave you guys with this, but our next episode is going to be with the great Gerard Hall, that payroll guy. And big announcement there. Great working with him. Great having him. He's like family now, like having him on the show. So comfortable. Yeah. So cool. Like catching up with a family member. So look out for that next drop next week. But I think about, I've thought about this recently a lot, and I think it to be a good payroll person, we have to be of service. And this mm-hmm. quote I found really articulates it well, right? Mm-hmm. I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was service. I acted, and behold, service was joy.
Mm.
Hey, the person who said this, Rabindranath Tagore, can't say the name right, but he's like a scholar, a poet, a literate person, a literary person from many years ago. But anyway, I thought that quote was very, how can I say, applies very directly to HR and payroll professionals,
because our work
is fitting. It's very fitting because we provide a service. And that's our world, is the service that we provide.
The question is, do you find joy in that?
Yes, I do. And if you don't, then maybe service is not for you, right? And the quote is also a good qualifier. If you resonate with the quote, then you should be in the service business. You should be in service, right? But if you don't, then maybe a different business for you. So that's maybe it for today, folks. We've been yapping on for way longer than I thought here. Yeah, right.
Like a short show.
I know, man. We always say that. I mean, I have to chop some down in editing, but always long. But to the next
part time. Part one and part two.
No more parts. To the next time, folks. We love you. Peace.
Peace. Before we sign off, Here are a couple of quick things. Don't forget to follow It's About Payroll on LinkedIn and It's About Your Paycheck on Facebook and TikTok. Thank you for being a part of our payroll community, and thank you for being a part of this journey with us. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and most importantly, keep going.